You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Good morning, friends and family of the Fountains United Methodist Church. My name is Reverend Dr. Khalif Smith, and I am so happy to be with you on this Sunday morning. Thank you for the invitation to preach and to be with you in worship on this Sunday morning. Friends, this week I have selected text from Proverbs and Romans, and they really kind of focus in on love. In Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, we find that Proverbs is a book of wisdom in the Old Testament. Wisdom literature that seeks to teach its readers and hearers wisdom and attitude, which means to live well and how to live well. This kind of common sense wisdom is based on not on revelation like a burning bush or some miracle type of situation, but on real experience and observation. Nevertheless, it is grounded in its right relationship, in our right relationship with God. The task of the wisdom literature is character formation and how we might learn how to deepen our relationship with God and how to continue to deepen our relationship with each other. It exhorts the young people to do well, to do good things, to be exhibiting good virtues of honesty and hard work, self-control, those types of things. And it also teaches about everyday life, economics, friends, family, work, sex, politics. As Ellen Davis puts it, the Proverbs are spiritual guides for ordinary people on an ordinary day when water does not pour forth from rocks and angels do not come down for lunch. We are going to be looking at the Proverbs to begin with. And then secondly, the book of Romans, which the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the Romans. And the section that we're going to be looking at as Paul talks about love is a practical love, a love that talks about doing, right? Going forth and actually presenting or doing something with one's love.
Our words of wisdom are from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, and Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
From Proverbs, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart.
Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and people.
From Romans, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Now, we all know that we are in a season post-COVID when we've been isolated and now are beginning to kind of break out of our own shells, come out of the house, beginning to meet and worship together, whether physically or even through the internet. And it's a time, I believe, that that we are seeking new belonging, new community, how to get back together with one another as people of faith, but also thinking about the ways that we can go forth and do ministry. It seems like ministry has been kind of lulled in the wake of COVID. And now we're thinking about how is it that we can get back to doing those things that God has called us to do. I wanted to kind of bring us back maybe to the centering focus of what it looks like to be in ministry, to connect to God's people, to deepen our relationship with God. And to again, become the people whom God has called us to be. Let us pray. Lord, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable unto you, for you are truly our rock and our redeemer. And we pray this all in Christ's holy name. I think back to my journey in faith. I think about where did I first get my faith formation? My father was a United Methodist pastor. That's right, I'm a PK, one of those bad kids, right? But really, I grew up in the church. And so faith formation was always a part of my life, reading scripture, being involved in church activities. And I always had a deep affinity or love, a passion for being involved in church activities and serving my community. But there did come a time in my life where I saw the hypocrisy in the church. People who talked about how they would love and care for their neighbors and how they loved God on Sunday, but on Monday and through the rest of the week, I saw just bad behaviors, angry people, racism, sexism, homophobia, all of these isms in the ways that they harmed one another. And so, in a way, I fell out of love with church, out of love with doing ministry. And so, after I was 21 or 22, I kind of departed from the church. I just wanted to see what the world had to offer. It was a time in my life of exploration, of growth, of learning about different faith traditions, about learning about the world. But there, over time, I found was a deep piece of me that was missing. And so as I began to grow and have my own family, it was important for me to go back to church. I went back to church and I was encouraged in church to begin teaching Bible study and to engage more. And I began to find my love again for my faith, reconnecting, a passion to and a desire to serve God's people and to just be in community with people of faith. It was a very interesting time, but this is exactly when I began to feel the call of God upon my life even stronger than I had when I was very young. And so I began to answer my call. As I began to attend school and reconnect with my faith again, I was put with a mentor. And that mentor, when they were telling me about how to go about doing the work of ministry, told me simply this: go and love the people. He said, you don't have to know very much. School isn't going to get you there. People can tell you all types of things about the business of the church and how to run the business of the church. But what is most important in any ministry context is to go and love God's people. That's it. That's all you have to do is love. And I began to think about that and what it meant for me, what it meant for my life, and what it meant for ministry. Because this was the starting point of me engaging back into the work that God had called me to do. And it was scary. It was a difficult and challenging time. So I wanted to think about what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to carry out love of God's people? Well, John Wesley writes in his sermon on love, he says, let us inquire, what is love? What is the true meaning of the word? We may consider it either as its properties or its effects. The properties of love, passion, care, compassion, its effects. What do we do with that love? How does it play out in the world? Wesley says this: the love which our Lord requires in all of his followers is the love of God and man, of God for his own, and of man for God's sake. Now, what is it to love God, but to delight in God, to to rejoice in God's will, to desire continually to please God, to seek and to find our happiness in God, and to thirst day and night for a fuller enjoyment of God. So, the first part of this love is to deepen our faith by delighting in God's will, trying to do what God would call us to do, to fulfill God's purposes in the world. The second part, Wesley writes, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Of course, we know that to be from Scripture. He says, "For he hath commanded us not only to love our neighbor," that is, all human beings, "as ourselves, to desire and to pursue their happiness sincerely and steadily as our own, but also to love many the creatures in the strictest of sense, to delight in them and to enjoy them." Well, if we go deeper and we think about the type of love that maybe Wesley is talking about, that Paul is talking about in the Scriptures as well, then we find that as Paul is writing to the Romans, there are two types of love that Paul points out in his writing to the Romans. Agape, which is this deep sense of love, a love that is goes beyond the types of love that we may even consider as human beings. I mean, when I say that I love my friends, or I love cookies, or I love, you know, playing baseball or fishing, that's not quite the depth of love that Paul is talking about, not quite the type of depth of love that Wesley is talking about. Agape is this deep, deep passion, selfless love, a love that goes beyond our own cares, our own desires, and into a place where we do for our neighbors and we do for God that which is beyond who we are. Paul writes with two types of love in the Romans verse. One type of love is philia, the root philia in the Greek, which means a kind of a friendship type of love. The other is the agape, which is a Greek for this deep-seated love that we're talking about. And although agape and other words are somewhat different in their senses, we can't overdo the distinctions between them. Many people or many scholars write that the agape refers to something deeper and higher and broader than friendship, something that comes only from God and is expressed only through God. Our Christian care, our Christian compassion, and our commitment to one another. But that's not to say that sometimes our love can be misdirected. If we look at the Scripture in John, where, of course, we all know John 3:16 through 21, "For God so loved the world." There's a hint at the fact that sometimes our love can be misplaced. It says this: "As an essential discussion of love, salvation, and judgment described in John 3:16, this is the judgment: that the light has come into the world, and the people who loved darkness rather than light." So, this agape love, the one that is so deep, so passionate, can also sometimes be misguided. We can love so deeply the things of the world. We can love so deeply our harmful nature. We can love so deeply that we actually harm one another. The love of agape can get distorted. One can aim deep to have this enduring love, and it can be, and it can go in the wrong direction. At its this deep, overwhelming love can become very positive, or it can be negative. We can have a deep love and fall into addiction. We can fall into destructive behaviors. We can hate one another. But the scriptures talk more positively about this agape love than it does ever about the negative impacts of agape love. And so as we come through this season of coming out of COVID and seeing all of the many things that have happened in the world, the rise in racism, the rise in sexism, the rise in homophobia, the political aspects that are drawing us further and further away from one another, I believe it's a time for a call, a revelation of all Christians, a revival, if you will, to get back to the devoted love that God calls us into, to become the people that God has called us to be. And what does that look like? In the Methodist Church, our love extends beyond the walls of our church. It extends into the ways in which we do ministry. We have a history of social justice, which calls us to take that love of Christ and love of neighbor to go into the world and to fight for those who are least lost, forgotten, and in harm's way. It is a love that calls us to care for our neighbors beyond ourselves. It calls for us to reach back and to help those, to serve those, to be involved in the political systems which have caused so much harm in our world. It calls us to be devoted to God and devoted to neighbor. So when I think about how I might continue in my ministry now as we come out of COVID and have changed, the world around us has changed, it is important and imperative to me that we get back to love, to that root of care, compassion, connection, honor for one another, and how we might continue to live out what God has called us to do. As your director of Connectional Ministries, it is my responsibility to steward the vision of the annual conference. I can tell you that this year we have decided not to cast a new vision for our annual conference, but just get back to the root of a God-centered ethos in love. We are so passionate about love and moving forward in love that as a cabinet, we decided to make love an acronym. And that acronym stands for these words. We're going to listen to stories in this season. We want to know about your passion in ministry, what you're doing, how your church is serving in so many different capacities, and how you are bringing forth your love of God to your love of neighbor. We want to be open to change. That means that we can't just continue to do church in the old ways, that we have to learn how to be different. We have to learn how to serve and be in service with one another in new ways. We're going to value diversity. That means everyone, all of God's creation, from those who are politically different than us, those who have different ideas, different theologies. We're going to value diversity because we believe that God values diversity. And we're going to embody belonging. Just like I said, there was a time in my life that I felt like I was disconnected from the church. And now I know that I was seeking for community, seeking belonging. And I believe that there are so many others who are out there who are seeking belonging. Our friends and our siblings in the LGBTQIA community are seeking belonging. Our wives, our mothers, our daughters are seeking belonging. Our husbands, our nephews, our brothers are seeking belonging. Our street neighbors, those who are experiencing homelessness, are seeking belonging. Those who are in challenging situations, our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, are seeking belonging. And we as Christians are called to love. Hear these words once again from Proverbs. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Isn't that what we're called to? Isn't that the type of life that we are called to live as Christians? To be those who love God, love our neighbor with agape love, who go forth into the world and use our love in the world. Not sit back idly by, but to use our gifts, our resources, to help those who need help and to bring them into belonging and community of faith. One of the ways in which we do this in the Methodist Church is through our apportionment giving. How we support the larger body of the church through our apportionment giving extends our ministry beyond our own boundaries. And while we may have fear of the resources that we have specifically to ourselves, we know that God extends our resources when we extend them forward in love. The Romans verse is practical. It reminds us, as it did the Romans, to be devoted to one another in love and to honor one another above ourselves. I pray that in this season, friends, that you take the opportunities to share in this love, to extend love, to deepen your relationship with God in love, and to deepen your relationship with your neighbor in love. Let us go about doing the great work that God has called us into. We know this has been a tough season for so many, but right now we have the opportunity to change the world through the lens of love. Will you join me? Will you join me in this effort to transform the world, that we might continue to be the United Methodist Church who makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world through love? Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we are so thankful, God, for the ways in which you have expressed and shown us love. Help us, God, to be those who deepen our faith through our love for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to live out that love in the world, to carry out the ministries of love and justice, care and compassion for our neighbors, and to go into those places where your love has not been known, to shine a light, so that the world might be transformed through your love and grace. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.